Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundaramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
With Salini Wadhera on the podcast. Salini is the founder of Ready, Set, Jet, an incredible person, built multiple businesses, done a lot of amazing things. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
What's your journey been like?
I started as an entrepreneur when I was 19. Not even by choice. It was my very progressive Indian father that sent me to India with a plane ticket and $2,000 and told me to start my own company. And of course, I cried the whole flight thinking they were secretly arranging my marriage. I was a very outspoken, rebellious teenager. So, you know, I didn't really know, but my dad really wanted me to go into business for myself. And my uncles were all knitwear manufacturers in Ludhiana. And so I started with golf and surf sweaters, being that I grew up in Southern California. And that was, you know, pretty much the lifestyle here in San Diego was, you know, we'd either go surfing or we'd go golfing. And so I started doing that. And then I pivoted into semi-precious stones and sterling silver jewelry. But my passion was always beauty. And so I started at a Clinique counter. I had no idea what I was doing. And one of my first customers and makeovers, I was so nervous because I'd never done someone's makeup, but she bought two products. The next day I got this beautiful bouquet of flowers and a card that said, "Thank you so much for bringing back my wife. She has cancer. You put a smile on her face." And that's really when I knew what I wanted to do for the rest of my life was, you know, to be able to affect someone's self-esteem and give them that whole, when you look good, you feel good, you know, mood and way of life. And so I was very aggressive. I worked with all the top brands in the US. I started traveling and launching brands with Laura Mercier and Danny Sands Makeup Forever, Dean and Davis from Smashbox. And then one day I got a call from NBC Studios saying, "Hey, we'd like to see your stuff." I didn't know what my stuff was, but there was no way I wasn't going to take the advantage and opportunity to drive on a big Hollywood lot and, you know, get in. And I got my big break on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and that opened up the world of celebrity makeup artistry to me. And I worked with, you know, a ton of celebrities on a number of shows, number of editorial photo shoots, and that got me on television. And I was doing all these segments on, like, you know, how to go from office to office party, you know, how to get the holiday glamour look, all these things. And one day I was in New York and the producer came up to me and she's like, "Well, what makes you so different that, you know, we're flying you in first class, we're putting you up in a suite, you know, why should we keep doing this?" And I was so stunned that I just right on the spot, I was like, "Well, you know, nobody's addressing all these amazing skin tones between Caucasian and African American, and we buy makeup too, and there's nothing on the market for us. And also, like, I'm from India and we oil our hair and that's why we've got beautiful looking hair. And, you know, Brazilian women have these amazing bodies and Chinese women never age, and it's not genetics, it's all these amazing beauty secrets." And so that was the moment in my career that I was really able to define a very strong point of difference and a niche in global beauty. And so I started going on television and talking about, like, the 5 best beauty secrets from around the world, the 10 best, you know, ancient rituals from around the world. And it hit, and I went on to do every syndicated talk show you could imagine. I became an ambassador for Nike when they launched their Bollywood shoe, for Olay, Chapstick, Prada, I mean, you name it. And that's when I got offered to write my book, Passport to Beauty. I got a publishing deal with St. Martin's Press. And I spent the next 2 years traveling the world and meeting the most incredible women and learning all these incredibly beautiful beauty secrets from just about every country. And while I was doing that, my manager and agent at the time said, "Look, it's time for you to start a company and a brand." And so I decided to take those secrets and I launched my first brand on QVC and in Sephora and built that to become one of the number one third-party selling brands in Victoria's Secret. We launched Nordstrom, Dillard's, HSN, QVC, QVC in London, and exited that brand and then had a crazy spiritual experience that really put me on my path to launching a women's platform, which launched globally at the United Nations. Launched my next beauty brand, Passport to Beauty. based on these secrets, had signed a media deal out of Amsterdam. So I was traveling the world and shooting, you know, content in different countries and learning about these amazing secrets, and then going into a lab and actually creating products for the customer. And while I was doing that, word got out that, you know, I could create really fast. And so I started creating brands for celebrities, influencers, different Hollywood studios. I created the Baywatch movie brand. You know, I did an entire beauty licensing program for Turner Classic Movies. And then in late 2017, I received the Mahatma Gandhi Award at the British House of Lords for my work in beauty and women empowerment. And shortly thereafter, the government of India asked me to bring impact to India. And that was really the beginning of Ready, Set, Jet.
That is quite the journey. I love it. What was the spiritual experience?
I had moved to Los Angeles from San Diego, and I was in dire need of some really good yoga, but more mental yoga than, like, you know, LA is all about hot yoga, power yoga, core yoga. And I needed, like, mental yoga, because I had gone through, you know, some trials and tribulations as an entrepreneur, and I really needed to get my balance back. And so I had fallen into this just amazing Korean yoga. And within a few months, one of the Tao masters came up to me and said, "Our master's coming from Korea. Would you like to meet him?" Of course, I would love to meet him. And so I went. I had asked if I could interview him for a book I was writing, my next book. And they said, "Well, he usually doesn't do that." But somehow at that event, I ended up making eye contact with him. And he spent some time afterwards with me, ended up blessing me. And then a few years later, after meeting him, my phone rang at 4:30 a.m. And it was a woman calling, saying that he had tapped into my energy. I needed to come immediately. And I was thinking it was L.A. again. So I said, "Absolutely, let's do it." "When?" "Now." "Okay, where?" "Sedona." I'm like, "Oh, wait." Sedona means I have to take a flight. It's, you know, I'm going to miss all my meetings today. So I somehow talked my husband into driving to Sedona, and on our way there, our car was struck by lightning, and I was holding my phone, which was plugged in the car, and I got this really painful, actually, charge through pretty much, it stayed on the left side of my body, and that was really the beginning of my spiritual awakening. That weekend, when I arrived in Sedona, the Korean master looked at me, and he said, "That was for you, that was for your brain. These are the next four things I need you to do. The fifth thing is your homework." And sure enough, at the end of the weekend, I knew that there was such a lack of resources, mentorship, and support for female entrepreneurs. And I had faced a stunning amount of, you know, sexual harassment in trying to raise. I'd never met a woman investor. It was nine times out of 10 men. And it always came with a, "We can close the deal if you want to fly on my jet or party on my yacht." And I'm like, "No, I just really want to do good business." And so I realized that I needed to create a safe space for women where we could power up their business with mentorship for women by women, power up their beauty. What are they doing for that unmatched confidence so they have unmatched leverage? And then powering up their life, you know, what are you doing? So no matter what's going on outside of you, you're this warrior on the inside through all these meditation and yoga techniques. And within a year, the United Nations came calling and said, "Hey, you know, we love what you're doing. Do you want to launch on the floor of the UN, talk about what you're doing, and then bring one of your events to 350 country head CEOs and diplomats?" And that was really the beginning of becoming a very purpose-driven entrepreneur.
I love that. I'm just thinking about, like, it's something so close to you. What is the process of building it like on the micro level? Like when you were getting involved with building something that you could truly relate to through all the experiences and everything that you went through with building your earlier businesses, how was that like, the very process of building it?
It came very easily to me and very naturally, because I believe it was, one, divinely guided, right? Two, it needed to be done. Three, I was very passionate about sharing my experiences with other women so they could, you know, not go through some of the lessons I had to go through. And it came together really nicely. After that weekend in Sedona, I decided to throw an event with beauty brands, you know, to give women like the perfect girls' night out. They came, they got their makeup done, they got facials. We had three amazing mentors there. You know, one of my friends ran all of international distribution for CBS Studios. Another one of my friends ran the California Women's Conference. So I had them come to share, you know, mentorship tips. And then I had the Tao Masters come and share the inner wellness tips. And then of course we had cocktails, we had Richard Blade, who's like this amazing 80s DJ on Sirius XM. I don't know if you listen to Sirius XM, but Channel 33. We had a band play. And I thought maybe, you know, 35 of my girlfriends would show up. And what happened is 175 women came and we had a waiting list. And so we started doing these transformational events with retreats in Sedona. And so with Power PT Living, it never really felt like work. And, you know, where it is today is we've been so fortunate with some partners that have come in and actually turned it into a nonprofit 501c3 to extend the impact now much deeper into really focusing on underserved women and communities that really need the mentorship and guidance to become entrepreneurs themselves.
I love that. I love how the passion shines through, given how connected it is to you. It's incredible to work on something like that.
You know, and I think when you focus on your passion versus focusing on trying to just come up with the next company, you know, there is something to be said about an authentic journey. And, you know, so for me, you know, all the brands I've built have never really felt like work because I've based it on, you know, a passion. You know, Passport to Beauty, my first brand, my book, all, I love to travel. I grew up, you know, in Southern California, but I was very fortunate to have parents that really were curious seekers themselves. So, you know, we'd go to Kenya to visit my grandparents, but then we'd stop in Egypt, you know, or we'd go to India to see my other grandparents, but we'd stop in Singapore or Thailand or Japan on the way. And we just get to learn and go into these marketplaces. And it sparked the enchantment that I had with the world as well as with, you know, all these global beauty secrets. And so, you know, it's never really felt like work to me. It's actually been very exciting. And then Ready, Set, Jet, you know, I saw the opportunity that so many people were traveling pre-pandemic and also now post-pandemic, and that women really wanted to simplify their beauty routine. And, you know, we really wanted to save them time, space, and money. It was a common theme throughout my career, even on the television shows I would do is, you know, how can I put my makeup on in 5 minutes versus an hour? You know, how can I get the most out of my product? And then what's been really inspiring to me is the impact that's attached to this brand of using beauty as a vehicle for change. How do we get to be part of a brand that's going to leave a positive impact on this planet? So no matter which brand I've created, whether it's for myself or for, you know, like I said, different celebrities, influencers, or studios, there's always that element of passion that comes in that's exciting. And then it never feels like work.
What was your first experience, like the very first experience? Because I feel like conventionally, the entire narrative, how society puts it is, it's kind of messed up, but it's very phrased as work needs to feel like work and enjoyment needs to feel like enjoyment. What was your first experience like when you realized that it's one life? It's just one single thing.
I mean, look, there's definitely days that work feels like work. I mean, let's not like
glamorize,
you know, because work definitely can feel like work. And I have a really bad habit of working and working and working and working. So I have to be very mindful about the balance side. But for me, in my career, I've taken a lot of my favorite parts and elements of my life and incorporated it into, you know, the companies I build. So, you know, landing in a new destination and having the opportunity to learn from women in those countries and getting to see what they do. I mean, there's nothing more exciting to discover new cultures, new secrets, you know, new foods, new smells, new ideas, and then being able to share it across the world and really celebrate the world. So, for me, you're right. It is one life. And to be able to, you know, get to do something like I get to do is it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. And if I can make that work and play at the same time, then I've got the best of both worlds.
One of my favorite topics is like, I really love this topic because it intertwines so many different areas. Some of the times when we're in the worst situations make for the best stories, like especially when you look back in the rearview mirror. Like some of the best dinner table stories are from times when that was the last thing you were thinking that this is going to be a good story, when everything was going wrong, but in the rearview mirror, it just turns out to be the best story. What were those stories, a couple of those stories like for you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I built my first brand to 30 million and I just was a very naive entrepreneur. I chose the wrong investor. You know, there was a lot of really bad behavior on that end. And that was probably the most difficult time in my life. And I really learned coming out of that, those failures and those really, really difficult times tend to become your biggest master teachers. And if you can look at those as master teachers, then you have so much gratitude and it really does reposition you to be on the right path. And so I can look back now, of course, when you go through those things, you're like, think your world's ending, right? But you can look back now and be like, wow, I'm so much smarter, stronger, wiser, more compassionate, more empathetic because of what I've gone through. And you're able then to really pay it forward in a beautiful way to other people.
I love that. It's amazing. Those, look at them as dinner table stories. Wait, I think I should make it Thanksgiving stories.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you have the attitude of gratitude, then there's a blessing in everything. And you really do understand that there is, you know, a path laid out for you, and you're able to, you know, if you believe and you have faith, then you understand everything when you look back. You know what they say, hindsight is 2020. It is true.
How unpredictable 2020 was, like a pandemic. It just, like in 2019, if someone was to say there's a pandemic coming up, we'd probably just laugh it off.
I actually really enjoyed it. Maybe because I travel so much, you know, it forced me to be in one place and really reset. But I was actually in India and we were doing our first activation in a slum in Mumbai with these beautiful young girls who, by the way, all have cell phones and following all of the same social media accounts I am. The only difference is they don't have the access and the opportunity to get the skills and the training. And so I was there and I had to cancel my flight through China and reroute through London. I came home and within a week, the whole world was on lockdown, you know, and it was amazing just to see that it was such an equalizer for every single person in the entire world. And it either brought out the best in you or brought out the worst in you. And, you know, I think if you were able to have the tools at the time, there was so much incredible inner work that could be done in 2020. It was, to me, the year of the reset for everybody.
I love that, year of the reset. That is so well phrased.
Yeah, I mean, it put you on a different path, or it accelerated your journey, or it decimated it. You know, it was, yeah, there were these, the three things that were going to come out of that. And, you know, it gave a lot of people, if not, you know, a business reset, a mental reset, if not a mental reset, a physical reset, or a financial reset. So there was, to me, a lot of, again, attitude of gratitude, a lot of good that came out of 2020.
That is so true. Yeah, go on.
Especially for Mother Nature. I mean, just to see planet getting time to finally breathe was just phenomenal to see.
Let's talk a bit more about your detox rituals. Today, how does your day look like?
My detox rituals, again, you know, I go back to how important it is to be mindful. And when I think of mindful, I literally mean mindful, mindful of your thoughts. Mindful of, you know, what you're putting in your body, what you're putting in your mind, what you're putting on your body, all of those things. So I usually start my day with just some quiet. I love to start my mornings with affirmations that are going to like really put me in the, you know, mindset of like confidence and gratitude and, you know, all the things you need to kind of power up that side of you to put you in the right mindset. I do meditation in the morning, even if it's for 5 minutes, I get that done. And then throughout my day, I really cognizant of my thoughts. I think if you can control your mind, then anything's possible. I think that's the biggest war in the world is learning to like control your thoughts and your minds and your emotions. You know, that's kind of my detox. Other than that, I do a lot of yoga. I love brainwave vibration, my meditation. It's my favorite, you know, it's where you're shaking your head side to side while you're tapping your body. And it's mixing brain fluids for healing at the brainstem level. But, you know, I also take it one step further. And I imagine literally throwing out negative thoughts that don't serve me when I'm shaking my head that don't belong within me. So I do that. I also love to walk. I live right on the beach, you know, in Southern California. So I try to get, you know, at least a 2 mile walk in every single day. And if the weather is nice, which it is about 90% of the time, you know, I will go and do my grounding exercises, which is putting my feet in the sand and in the water, in the ocean water every day for that reset. I think the ocean is a wonderful reminder of going with the flow and how life comes in waves and also goes in waves, and not to get too attached to anything because we're constantly in flow and transformation.
That's a beautiful analogy.
You know, it's wonderful. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I always like to be by a body of water wherever I live, whether it's on a lake or it's by the ocean. It's just a really good reminder when things get stressful that nothing's permanent. You know, the waves are going to come, the waves are going to go. And it's just like life. Things are going to come, they're going to go. You can't get too attached to things. And you've got to always stay in that flow, just like the water.
I was just by the beach yesterday. I think for the past 5 days, every single day, I'm trying to make it a part of my ritual, especially until I'm in Southern California, to just go by the beach, sit and read there, because I love reading by the beach. It's amazing.
It is. And now you're getting all the negative ions from the ocean water. I mean, there's so many benefits, especially, you know, as a beauty authority, you know, with Ready, Set, Jet, I specifically use marine-based ingredients in the skincare and the makeup. So every product has golden algae, golden seaweed, marine fennel, all these ingredients, because what I learned in traveling the world is that, you know, a lot of the women in the Mediterranean, the reason that they glow and they have such great skin and hair is all the minerals in the ocean, the enzymes, being by the ocean, positive mind equals positive life, you know, making sure they dip in the ocean and they get all of the beautiful benefits of the seawater on them. And so there's just so many benefits to beach life, so to speak.
What would you say is your self-talk, just generally, whenever there's a new problem that comes up, there's new firefighting, which is constantly coming up. So there's a new fire, you get a call, there's another fire. What goes on in your head? What's your self-talk like?
So my old self-talk was, oh my God, this is terrible. And then that somehow would attract another bad situation. And that would attract another bad situation. And then going back to a conversation you and I had earlier about the domino effect, you know, that would start that like attracts like kind of thing. And I really learned through a lot of my yoga practice, my meditation practice, that positive mind equals positive life. So again, going back to being mindful and being able to really catch yourself before you go down this rabbit hole of like, this happened and now this is happening and now this is happening, of just imagining a red stop sign and stopping the negative thinking immediately and then reinfusing it with positive talk. And that's why, you know, listening to affirmations in the morning is so important. Listening to subliminal affirmations when you sleep is also one of the things I love to do. And just being really mindful of watching my thoughts, because it's easy to get really wrapped up in, you know, the times where things aren't going right for you and then falling into that, you know, hole of that everything's going wrong, but really learning the importance of compartmentalizing that and saying not everything's going wrong, but this one thing needs to be, you know, worked on, but everything else is going great.
That is so true. I think like just generalizing problems, but like specifying like you're good in one area, but that one problem is everywhere.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to just focus on the bad, you know, if you don't have, you know, a well-rounded thought process, so to speak, it's very easy to focus on the bad and then everything becomes bad. You know, you kind of have that point of view where, you know, that negative mindset. And if you're able to just immediately catch yourself and have some kind of, you know, a tool in your, I call it like, you know, that you, everyone should have this toolkit of power tools in there to help you, whether if you're stressed, if you're sad, if you're, you know, feeling melancholy, like what are the things that you can do to kind of get yourself out of that? And for me, it's really being mindful of when I start going into a negative thought pattern of catching myself immediately and saying, you know what? There's a trick I learned that's been really helpful for me. To change your attitude, you need to change your altitude. And sometimes when you're like in the thick of things and you can't see a way of having gratitude about a situation, right? It could be like this horrible situation. And you're like, how am I supposed to have an attitude of gratitude about this? This is like the worst thing that could happen, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you stop and you remove yourself and now you change your altitude, become like an eagle soaring above the problem, and you look down and you realize, oh, well, if let's just say you had trained to climb Mount Everest, right? You had spent all this time training, you're finally on your climb, you're almost at the top, and you break your ankle. And you're like, really? I spent all this time training, I'm almost there, I broke my ankle, there's nothing I can do about it now. Now, elevate yourself as an eagle and fly above. What you may not have realized when you broke your ankle is, had you gone further around the bend, the cliff had given out and you would have lost your life. So I use that as an example, because sometimes when you're really in the thick of a problem or a negative thinking spiral, if you just stop and you detach yourself and you raise, you know, change your altitude, it's very easy then to look at it from a different perspective and change your attitude. And I'm reminded of that every single time I fly, especially on a cloudy day. It can be gray and overcast and yucky on the ground. And as soon as you take off and you get over the clouds, it's sunny and beautiful. And so those are kind of the things that I think about when I have, you know, this negative thoughts starting to come into my world, so to speak.
Change of perspective as a detox. That is a detox.
It's a super tool to have because it forces you to look at things from a different perspective, and then you realize it's not as bad as you think it is.
That is so true. Moving to the rapid fire round, couple quick questions. Answer them in the least possible time. Apples or oranges?
Oranges.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Mac or Windows?
Mac.
One piece of advice that is given very often but is completely wrong.
You need to raise VC money in order to succeed.
One piece of advice that should be given more often.
Things you fear aren't scary usually.
I love that. Your favorite travel destination?
Barcelona.
Out of all the shows you got to binge in 2020, which one would you go back to?
I loved Valeria from Spain. I loved Made in Heaven. How to Sell Drugs Online Fast.
Your favorite food?
Mexican.
Favorite musician?
Duran Duran, Depeche Mode.
Favorite taco place?
Well, there's a taco chain in San Diego called Roberto's.
Favorite beach?
I mean, I love the beaches in the south of France.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking our time. This was so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. So nice to meet you. Finally, you know, not on Clubhouse. So thank you very, very, very much. I appreciate it.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.